The following message is brought to you by Cashin First Baptist Church and Pastor Greg Davis in Cashin, Oklahoma. For more information about Cashin FBC, please visit cashinfbc.org.
Family Sunday, so we leave the little ones in on this Sunday, and we want them to learn how to be part of corporate worship, and so we welcome them in. I want to thank the worship team. What an incredible job they did this morning, and just preparing our hearts for worship. Early Monday morning, my wife woke me up, and I could tell that things were not going to go well that morning, and she ended up in the emergency room early that morning, and then early in the day, by the grace of God, was able to have emergency surgery. And I'm saying this because I want to thank the church. Some ladies stepped up and fed our family the whole week, and I want to tell you how grateful we are that happened. And Brad and Rita kind of set the tone. He brought smoked chicken from a Traeger smoker, and she had roasted vegetables, and it just kind of set the bar high from there, and they just kept getting better and better through the week, and we are so thankful. But I did want to tell you, I'm having emergency surgery tomorrow, so Brad, if you want to go ahead and just do a whole thing of chicken like that again, we'll be there about 6 o'clock, okay? If you have your Bible, grab it, go to Romans chapter 5 this morning. Romans chapter 5. I want to read verses 1 through 5. It's where we've been for the last several weeks, and then I want us to pray together. Let's look, starting in verse 1. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes these words, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope," or in hope, "of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Let's pray this morning. Father God, help us in some way to grasp the grace that you have given us through Christ. Because Lord, when we begin to grasp this, our joy in you increases, our faith in Christ increases, and we live lives of thankfulness. And so, Lord, I pray that today we would be able to conceive what you're talking about, perceive and to see it and to understand it in a better way. Lord, we need eyes that see and ears that hear and hearts that are quick to obey. And so we pray this all in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Some of you have been here, some of you have not been here. And so each week I've been kind of recapping what has happened up to this point and what starts to happen in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It is the doctrine that most of us probably know in the back of our mind, but many of us were not taught. It's that doctrine of justification by faith. And justification, if you remember, is that we are declared not guilty in the courts of God, courts in the eyes of God, courts of heaven. We're seen as innocent. We are acquitted. And this is all based on the grace of God and the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. You see that at the end of verse 5, chapter 5 and verse 1, through our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says there. But this is an important doctrine for us to wrap our minds around and to understand. And it comes to us, Paul says, by faith, not by works, not by what we can do, not where we're born or who the family we're born into, but it is by faith that this justification is given to us. And once this happens, there are a series in chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, there are a series of blessings that come with this, a series of benefits, if you will. Now, the reason that I want you to understand this each and every week is we have to keep in our minds, as we talk about the benefits and the blessings, we cannot untether it from justification by faith. I told you this last week, there's a great danger that we sometimes want the blessings without the work of Christ. And so we have to tether this work constantly to justification by faith. Now, there's two of these blessings that we've considered, one in verse 1 and one in verse 2. And the first one is there in verse 1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, I informed you last week, this is objective in nature. We have to see it in the Scriptures to understand it. There's subjective peace that we feel. That's Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. But then there's objective peace that we just know in our minds. We know it's true because of justification by faith. This is the mindset or the truth that says all is well with God. That's what peace with God is. Right? We are formerly at war with God, and now we are on friendly terms with God. That's the first blessing that we begin to understand when we are justified by faith, or at least that we are to understand when we're justified by faith. Secondly, I want you to see that this comes through Christ. We said that in verse 1 as well. But secondly, we also have access to God. Now, we got into a long discussion last week about this. This NASB says we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace. And the NIV translates that access. Once we are justified by faith, we are in a loving and grace-filled relationship that we can come into at any given time. That's why he says, into this grace. Right before the presence of God is somewhere we don't want to be. In His presence is judgment. In His presence is condemnation. But now because of Christ, we're in the presence of grace constantly. And we can go there because of the work of Christ at any time. That's what access to God is. Jesus secures that for us. Now here's a question. And for one 30-second period, I want you to listen to me, okay? If you're here today and you say, I'm just not into listening to the word being preached, would you listen for the next 30 seconds? There is a question that I think is answered that all of us want to know, and all of us grew up struggling to understand. And here's the question. Once I'm in that realm of grace, once I'm in that relationship of grace, can I fall out of that relationship? Can I come in and out of that and fall out of that grace-filled relationship and the presence and relationship with God? Now, I want to make a statement before we unpack that, okay? Here's the statement. There are some denominations who teach and believe that we can fall out of grace and we can fall out of that relationship. Some that hold this position, and I've had conversations with them, believe it's hard to fall out of that. It's not something easily accomplished. You have to commit a lot of sins and be very deliberate about it. But they do believe that it can happen. But then there are some people who hold to this position who live in fear and insecurity about it. As a matter of fact, Gretchen and I had some dear friends. They were up in age. As a matter of fact, they were in their 80s when I had this conversation with her. But we were discussing one day this idea of grace. And I'll never forget what she said to me. She said, Greg, I cannot know and will not know until I die. In other words, she had just lived in constant insecurity of whether she was in grace or out of grace. Now, that's one position, but there's another position that says once you are in and have been declared not guilty and you're at peace with God and have access to Him by faith, that will not change. You cannot be taken away from that. I don't know if you caught this in that last song or the song before last. Gretchen and I pointed it out to her in the middle of that. Once we are there, it says, no one can snatch us. Did you read that? No one can snatch us from His hands. That's what we're talking about today in Romans chapter 5. So the third blessing, some people call it the second blessing because they attach it to this presence of God reality, is assurance. That's the third blessing. If you want another way to think about this, it is called the security of the believer. Now, every commentary I read and every pastor that I listened to and every book that I read when I was studying for this, they all say, just consider it with chapter 5, verse 2 and this idea of the realm of grace. But can I tell you this morning? This is so important that I think we have to take it all by itself. We have to consider it all by itself. So why is it so important to understand justification by faith? Because everything we've considered up to this point and will consider from this point on, remember, is tethered to that doctrine. So let's look at the phrase there in verse 2. This is talking about the security of the believer and assurance. He says, "We have also obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand." Now, I want you to underline or highlight or circle that word "stand" there, because this is the term that points us to security. It is the point, the term that helps us to understand that if we're there, we're going to stay there. This has an idea of being permanent, okay? So let's consider this word for just a moment, how it's used in the Bible. When I was a student at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, I had a Greek professor, and many of you know him because he comes here every year. We were very good friends. And I remember he was wanting us to translate something, and I went in and I said, when I look up the term, there's like five different meanings for that one term. And he looked at me and he said this, and I'll never forget it, and I apply it every time that I prepare for sermons. You ready? Context. Ready? Context. Context. He said, you have to read the word in its context to figure out what it means. This is one of those terms, stand, that has a lot of different meanings. As a matter of fact, one of them in the New Testament is exactly what I'm doing here today, standing behind the pulpit. Do you remember when Jesus went through that series of temptations in Matthew chapter 4 and Satan brought him and led him into the wilderness to be tempted, and he was there and Satan said, if you are the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. And Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, quoting scripture back to Satan. But the second temptation, Satan says, let's go to the pinnacle of the temple and you stand there, and then here in a moment, I want you to jump off. If you really believe that God's going to rescue you, then you jump off of the pinnacle of the temple. That word there means that Jesus was literally standing at the pinnacle of the temple. It's used in another way in the New Testament regarding spiritual warfare. We are prone and vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. So in Ephesians chapter 6, repeatedly Paul uses the term, you remember it? Stand firm. He also translates it this way. We see it translated in our English Bibles as resist. Meaning Satan is coming after you. Are you going to put on the full armor of God so that you can stand spiritually? But there's a third way that it's used, and I believe this is what Paul is trying to tell us here. That you are able to stand in grace. That there's a day coming that you'll stand before the Lord and you will be able to stand and not be rejected. So I want you to hear this. In Christ, according to what Paul is saying here, you are immovable. You are immovable. And as a matter of fact, this entire chapter, Romans chapter 5, many theologians and pastors, and I'm one of those, believe this entire chapter is really about the assurance of the believer. That all these blessings can only belong to you because of justification by faith, and they're there as realities, not as things we hope for. They are there for us as realities. And so this becomes a text about assurance of our salvation. So I want you to hear this. We have assurance in Jesus Christ that we will stand. Now, anybody that knows me knows that I'm not going to make that statement and look at one verse, right? Can I get an amen this morning? We're going to spend our time going through the New Testament looking at this idea. So the first place I want you to turn is to Jude chapter 1. Now, if you know anything about the book of Jude, you know it's only one chapter. So look at verses 24 and 25. Jude chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Notice this in context is what's called a doxology. A doxology is what we just did in the time before I came up here. We worshiped. We look at various characteristics of God and we say, God, you're worthy of worship because of these things. And we praise your name and we honor you because of these things. Verse 24, look at what it says. This is the doxology. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Now, stumbling in the Bible is the opposite of standing. But he says, God is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and great joy. Now, I want you to see something in verse 24, and it's not there in the NIV, it's in the New American Standard. To him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to make you, there's another phrase there, make you stand. To make you stand. He can keep you from stumbling and he can make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. Now, who's able to do that? Are you able to do that? No. Are you able to do that? No. But when we look and we see the context of this, it's God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son who are able to keep us standing in his presence. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So I want you to recognize in this verse who gets the glory. It's God. Why? Because he's able to keep us standing. That's what Paul says one of the benefits of justification by faith is. Now, let's see if Jesus agrees with this. That was Jude, by the way. Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And I want you to put your finger on verse 37. You know what I love about this church? We're okay just going through the Word of God. We're okay just looking to see what the Scriptures have to say about any given subject. Whatever we find in the Scriptures, we want to study it. John chapter 6, verse 37. Jesus speaking, red letter edition. All that the Father gives me will come to me. That's a certainty. It's not something Jesus is hoping for. It's something Jesus says will happen. And then he says, the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. In other words, they'll stand to the very end. Now, this is not the only place that Jesus says this. As a matter of fact, he elaborates on it in John chapter 10. So I want you to turn over there to John chapter 10. This is one of the greatest passages in the New Testament. And if I were you, I would highlight it in your Bible. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. Now, I'm going to back up to verse 25. So just look at your Bible for just a moment. It says, you do not believe, or Jesus answers and said, I told you and you do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name. These testify of me. Now, why do they not believe? Well, Jesus tells them in the very next verse. We don't have to guess. He says, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. And then Jesus is going to go on and talk about one of the benefits of being a sheep in his flock. And what is it? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How do you know you're a sheep? You listen to the Word of God, and you believe it. You follow Jesus Christ. Then he goes on, and he says, I give eternal life to them, and they will never, underline that word, they will never perish. These are the words of Christ in red. He makes a promise to us, and I'm just waiting for someone to say amen, okay? He makes a promise, they will never perish. It won't ever happen. If you're one of his sheep, you will not perish. And what does he go on to say? No one in Christ alone, we just sang it, no one will snatch them out of my hand. Now, Gretchen leaned over to me and said something to me that we've talked about before. Okay, what about if you could get out of the hands of Jesus? What if you could do that? What if there was a potential for that happening? What does he go on to say in verse 29? My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Even if you could potentially get out of Jesus' hands, you can't get out of the Father's hands. Why? Because he's greater than all, including you and me and our stupidity, okay? That's another verse that shows us. John chapter 10, 27 through 29. Now, I want to show you one just on the screen here. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Put this in your memory bank. Paul says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's talking about past, present, and future. That we will stand because God has done a work in us. And what is that work according to Romans chapter 5? Justification by faith. Turn with me, if you have your Bible there, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 12. Okay, this is one of those moments that I wrote something down wrong, and it fires me up every time I do this. It is? Oh, yes, yes, yes. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard, to make me stand with what? What I have entrusted to him until that day, which is my very life. God is able to keep it till the very end. We sing a hymn about this, don't we? I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able, right? That's what that's talking about. It's talking about the assurance of the believer that in the end, if they've been justified by faith, as a blessing accompanying that, we will stand. Now, I want you to go back to Romans chapter 8. We're going to have a couple more places we're going to turn as we consider application on this. 31 through 34 of Romans chapter 8. In chapter 8, starting in verse 26, he's talking about salvation here. And in verse 31, he's summarizing with a question. If that's the case, then this is what's true of us. Verse 31, it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? And the answer to that is no one. We can answer that with 100% confidence. If God is for us, no one can stand against us. It's an impossibility. Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? The answer, no one. God, and this is why, God is the one who does what? Justifies. Brothers and sisters, if he gives it to you as a gift, he's not going to take it away. He has secured it for all eternity. Who's the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. That is a passage about the security of the believer. God has given us a gift, and it cannot be taken away. Now, I want to stop for the next few minutes and consider two applications. Okay, are you ready? This is the first application. If security and assurance were dependent upon us, we would 100% fall away. And as a matter of fact, I would argue you would already have done that if it was up to you. A lot of people do not like this doctrine. I don't know why. It gives me great comfort that when I close my eyes on my deathbed, that I'm going to wake up in the presence of God, not because of my faithfulness, but because of His faithfulness, right? And this is what we're talking about when we talk about this. We say, is God able to keep us? Yes. Are we able to keep ourselves? No. I want to give you an example, a human example of this, okay? I want you to turn to Mark's gospel and go to Mark chapter 14. This is at the end of Jesus' life. And Jesus has told His disciples, all of you are going to fall away. You remember that? He was having a conversation with His disciples. He says, all of you are going to fall away. I want you to look at verse 29. And I love Peter's confidence here. Because we're saying, if it was up to us, we would have already done it. But Peter says, I'm that one exception to the rule. I'm that one exception. Look at what he says. Peter said to him, even though all may fall away, yet I will not. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you that this very night before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me three times. But Peter kept saying insistently, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they were all saying the same things also. But notice what Peter says. I will. I'll stand. I'll stay to the very end. I'll be the last one standing, even if everybody falls away. And I can tell you this. If it were up to us, we would fall away. But Jesus, Paul says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. That's who we put our trust and faith in, not ourselves. Now the second thing is, security and assurance and the ability to stand are gifts of God's grace. They're gifts of God's grace. Many Christians wrestle with this, and if you haven't, you're probably not a very deep thinker. Every Christian at some point has asked this question. If real persecution broke out, would I stand? Every person's asked that. And as a matter of fact, I remember Martin Lloyd-Jones telling a story in one of his sermons, an old sermon from the 40s, about a woman who obsessed about this idea. She would say, if real persecution breaks out, will I be able to stand? And do you know what Martin Lloyd-Jones told her? You don't worry about what you would do. You worry about what God would do on your behalf. That He would give you the grace you need to stand. That's what we need more than anything. The ability to stand and the assurance that comes with that are both gifts of God's grace. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And look at verse 25. This is about the work of Christ, our great high priest, on our behalf. And Paul starts this, he starts this verse with the word therefore. Therefore, as a conclusion regarding Jesus as our great high priest, look at what he says. Therefore, He is able, Jesus, He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him. What is Christ able to do on our behalf? He is able to save us forever. That word has the idea of permanence for all time. He can save us now. He can save us in the future. He can save us and, in other words, keep us saved. Now, if you've got an old King James Version, do you know what I love about the King James Version here? And I pray it for people all the time. God save them to the uttermost. In other words, take it as far as it can possibly go, expand it as large as it can go, and keep them saved. So when I pray for people, do you know what I cannot stand doing? leading someone to Christ, and then 1 or 2 years later, they're no longer walking with Christ. I want to say God save them and keep them saved. Save them to the uttermost. Galatians 3:3. Just look up here with me. Paul has people who were saved by grace and who thought they were going to maintain it by works. And look at what Paul says to them. After beginning by means of the Spirit, a spiritual rebirth, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? In other words, you started with grace, and now you're going to finish with your own flesh. You're going to finish with your own power and your own strength. And Paul says, that's a foolish position. We want to be born by the Spirit and maintained by the Spirit to the very minute we draw our last breath. Are we able to stand? I don't know if you've been watching the news this last week or 2 weeks, but there was a pastor in Canada who was arrested. Now, folks, let me tell you what he was arrested for. He was arrested because Canada is doing what so many places are doing, that COVID is shutting the churches down for good. Right? You can only gather with so many people, and you can only do this, and you can only do that. And James Coates, like many other pastors, said, we submit to God's authority, not to man's authority. And he threw the doors open, threw the lights on, and the authorities came and took him away in chains in 2021. And James Coates remains in jail to this day. Taken from his wife, taken from his children. And people say, how in the world is he going to stay? And how in the world is he going to stay faithful to the Lord? By the grace of God. He will not stand any other way. But he knows that he is tethered to the justification that God gives him by faith. I want to remind you of the call to worship this morning. Psalm 121. He will not allow your foot to slip. And all God's people said, amen. Brad and Vicki, would you guys come and do In Christ Alone as a response to this? Let's stand and worship. That in Christ alone we cannot be removed from our firm foundation.